So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." And so Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he doesn't want those in Corinth to be ignorant. I wouldn't think he'd want us here in Borrego to be ignorant either. And so we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts. And I guess the first question is just, what are spiritual gifts? When you look at those words in the Greek, the word spiritual and also the word gifts, the word spiritual is the Greek pneumatikos, and it means belonging to the Holy Spirit. Those of you who know a little bit of Greek, or at least just kind of associating it, the word for spirit in Greek is pneuma. So this is a form of that, pneumatikos, and it's translated spiritual. And one of the definitions is this would belong to the Holy Spirit, that which is spiritual. And the word gifts is charismata. That kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? And it means a favor bestowed or received without any merit. And so you have something that is the Holy Spirit's that he is bestowing to someone else that maybe hasn't worked for it or doesn't deserve it. That's kind of neat, isn't it? The word charismata comes from the Greek word charis or charis, and that's the word that's translated grace. And so when we talk about the grace of God, we speak of God's unmerited favor, him giving us or gifting to us his blessings and his favor. And of course, ultimately, the primary would be in salvation, but thus in sanctification as well, God gifting us with different abilities, I guess you might say. So I guess one way to look at this is spiritual gifts are the gifts or special abilities God has given believers through the Holy Spirit. And just so we're taking a look or have at least within our minds and refreshed as to what those gifts are, I'd like to read through the handful of passages we find in the New Testament that speak of spiritual gifts. I don't think these are necessarily exhaustive lists, but I think this will give us an idea of what's being talked about as we look at spiritual gifts. And the first section is going to be right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul lists a number of the gifts. Let's just jump to verse 8, where Paul says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." So in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10, we see these: the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. Right now, we're just looking at the list. We're not going to be examining the gifts or seeking to define them or how they might operate. We're just going to look at the lists that are there. Look at verse 28 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, "And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues." And so he's kind of mixed a little bit, hasn't he? The person, you might say, I don't know if we should say the office, but the apostles, the prophets, but then he went right back to speaking of the miracles and so forth. So in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 12, we see apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. So as we continue looking at the different lists of spiritual gifts, let's turn one book to our left, to Romans chapter 12. So we also have a little section that Paul goes into on spiritual gifts, moving from 1 Corinthians 12 over to Romans chapter 12. And why don't we go ahead and take it up from verse 3, because I'll be referring back to some of these verses a little bit later. It says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." Romans 12:6. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so another mini list that we have there in Romans chapter 12, we see prophecy again. We see ministry. The idea there is service. Teaching, exhortation. The idea there are words of encouragement or admonition, warning possibly. Giving, leading, showing mercy. Let's turn over to Ephesians 4 if you'd like to. It's going to be to your right. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 4, again, we see gifts that God has given to the church, and only this time it's speaking about individuals as the gifts that God has given to the church. And we can see different individuals that have different giftings. And we'll look at Ephesians chapter 4, and let's take it up from verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Verse 11 of Ephesians 4. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And so the gifts that he has given to the church, this time in the form of individuals in the church that have different giftings. So from Ephesians 4, we see apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher. As we start looking at the various gifts, we're going to be looking at each one. And at that point, we'll probably be making a distinction when they're talking about maybe a certain office that a person is holding or a certain gifting that he's using in that capacity, where he's referred to as an apostle, prophet, or evangelist, pastor, teacher, and also the varying gifts that are being used throughout the body of Christ. One more place, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Again, going to your right, heading past Thessalonians, Timothy, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified, through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You might see in this section right here that it's speaking about speaking the oracles of God and ministry, or again, which can be translated serving. And so you see the speaking forth for God, and also the idea of service and doing it so that the Lord would be glorified. You can see there's some that are mentioned more than once in the different listings that we have. But I think if we put them all together, we come up with a list that looks like this: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, apostles, prophets, teachers, helps, administration, ministry, exhortation, giving, leading, mercy, evangelists, pastor, and speaking. And so there's, 22 that are listed there. Again, I don't think it's an exhaustive list by any means, but for the beginning of our study here on spiritual gifts, this gives us an idea of what we're talking about when we're talking about spiritual gifts, okay? You see a variety of different ones there. Some people categorize them in certain arenas and speak about those gifts that might be the speaking gifts, where it might be the teaching or prophecy. There are the serving gifts, where you have administration and helps. But what we're going to do is just go through the beginning of this study with this list, for the most part, in our mind as we're talking on spiritual gifts. And the first thing that we want to talk about and to encourage everybody with as you're looking at that list is everybody has at least one spiritual gift. Do you believe that? Now, I know some people call, maybe everybody else, but I don't have a spiritual gift. The reality is everybody has one. And how do I know that? It goes back to the verses we just read. And here's a snapshot of the verses we just saw in 1 Corinthians 12:7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Now, what does he mean, the manifestation of the Spirit? This is the verse that preceded the list in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10, when it spoke of the gifts of the Spirit. And so, very clearly, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And you might say, well, it says faith there. It doesn't say gift. Well, he goes on to list the different gifts that you step into and use as the Lord gifts you in that. And so to each one, I think, is the idea. Ephesians 4:7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, minister it. So you can see pretty clearly that everybody's got a gift. I guess the big question is, what gift do you have? And therein you have the spiritual gifts test, which might help point you in that direction. As we get started in this, though, you know, we're talking about special abilities that God gives us. And we're going to talk about how those are to be used and what they're to be used for. But I think we kind of have to make a somewhat of a distinction between the special abilities that God gives us and also what we might call human abilities. You know, sometimes we look at somebody and go, man, you know, he just has a knack for playing the piano. He just is kind of gifted in that way. Or you might look at somebody else and go, you know, he has a real gift for administration or things, or that guy is just a great natural communicator. We refer to it like that, don't we? Natural ability. You know, sometimes, I guess we got to boil it down to this, first of all. We're made in the image of God. And so everything that we have is going to be from God. We know that. But I think there's a distinction between what we might refer to as a natural ability and also, and contrasting that with a spiritual gift. I think the difference, if I had to put a word on it, I think I would say maybe an empowerment for service. You might have a natural ability to communicate, but it might be a whole different thing if God is giving you that anointing and ability to speak forth his word and to have others be able to understand that. Does that make sense, kind of? So I'm not trying to really split hairs here, but I think it's important to make a distinction. And that kind of factors in a little bit when we're taking the spiritual gifts test, because there are some things I think that we naturally might be good at and all. So just keep that in mind as you're looking at that. How do we get those gifts? Who's the one who gives us those gifts? The answer is, right, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the gifts. Romans 12:3 again, God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. It is God who gives it to us. 1 Corinthians 12:11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Ephesians 4:7-8, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. 1 Corinthians 12:18, but now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he please. So it's kind of interesting. We're back to the Trinity a little bit there, aren't we? Do you see that? You see God mentioned. You see the Holy Spirit mentioned. You see Christ mentioned in that. And the reality is it's God who's giving us these gifts. That's what makes them spiritual gifts, certain abilities that we receive from God. What are we supposed to do with them? That's the question. How are they to be used? And what is the end outcome we want? Are you given a certain gift so that you can be more spiritual than the rest of the church? No, it's not given for our own aggrandizement, I guess you would say, or to build us up, but it's given for God's glory, and it's given for, who do you think? For the church, right? For the body of Christ. And again, we've seen these as we were going through these verses. 1 Corinthians 12:7, again, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. 1 Corinthians 14:12, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So it really brings it down into perspective when we're looking at these gifts that it's really not for ourselves, it's for the body. It's like God is doing a work within the body and he's using us to do that work. In Ephesians chapter 4, that's the passage that speaks about the apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers. It goes on to say in Ephesians 4:12 that is for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The purpose is to equip the saints to do the work of ministry, and the result of that would be to build up the body of Christ. I think the idea here is gifted people ministering the word to others so they in turn are ready to get involved and minister it to other people as well. Do you see the chain in that? In other words, we're being able to invest in other people. They turn around and invest in other people as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it says, Paul said to Timothy, "In the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Can you see the chain there? Paul is committing it to Timothy. Timothy, you're supposed to commit these to faithful men so that they can turn around and teach others as well. It's a chain that's going down as we're investing in other people. And so the gifts that we have are not for ourselves, but they're for others. And that's how God wants us to use them. And so we're speaking about the building up of the body of Christ and the unity within the body of Christ. Unfortunately, what can take place sometimes is division can come when people have certain gifts and other people will look, and we all seem to do this and go, boy, I wish I had that gift. Don't we do that? I wish I was doing what that person's doing. And the reality is, does everybody have a gift? Absolutely. Who's the one who gave us the gifts? God, and he distributed as he pleases. And so he has a specific plan in mind on what he wants to do. Now, in the operation of the gifts, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 right now. There's a couple of significant things to see as we speak about the different gifts and the operation of those gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 6, where Paul writes, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. That was one of our Trinity verses right there. Do you remember that? Now, the word diversity in verse 4, differences in verse 5, diversities in verse 6, it's all the same word in the Greek. It means different kinds. So it's saying there are different kinds of gifts. Verse 5, there are different kinds of ministries. Verse 6, there are different kinds of activities. So what is it saying? I think what it's saying is there's obviously different gifts. We just had a list of 22 of them up on the board. So there's different kinds of gifts, but there's also different kinds of ministries, service, venues, if you will, to be able to utilize those gifts or administer those gifts. So not only are there different kinds of gifts, there's different kinds of outlets to use those gifts, and there's also different ways that those gifts work. And I think that's what it's saying in this passage. There are different gifts, different venues to use those gifts, and there are different ways that those gifts work. So let's just take one as an example. Let's take the gift of teaching. That's one of many gifts. Now, there are different venues or outlets for the gift of teaching to work. One would be behind the podium. One would be in a children's ministry class. One would be maybe one-on-one with somebody you're discipling. Okay, so different areas of service that same gift of teaching can be used, but there are also different ways that gift of teaching works. Even if you're in the same venue, let's say you're behind the podium, you've got the same gift, you've got the same venue, but you have a different way that particular gift will operate according to the individual. Does that make sense? In other words, the way I teach would be different than the way somebody else teaches. It might be the same venue. That's probably the bad word for that, the wrong word. But the same place you would use it, the same gift, the gift of teaching, but a different way that same gift in the same place works according to the different individuals. The problem sometimes is when we see somebody else that we really like and we want to be like them. And so we try and emulate the way the same gift maybe works in their lives. Like David Jeremiah is a great teacher. But if I'm up here trying to be David Jeremiah, I'm going to fall short. Why? Because God has gifted him in a certain way, and that gift works a certain way with David Jeremiah where it wouldn't work with me. And so I kind of come back to that thing. If we're trying to be somebody else, then who's going to be us if we're a particular part of the body of Christ? Amen? And so different ways that the gifts operate. 1 Peter 4:10 says a similar thing. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The word manifold, the grace of God that shows itself in various ways. And so the giftings manifesting themselves in various ways, maybe the same gift, but being shown forth in a different way through a different individual. As we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's just kind of scan down through that just a little bit. Again, diversity is of gifts, verse 4, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of ministries, verse 5, but the same Lord. Different kinds of activities, verse 6, but the same God who works all in all. Verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So we each are gifted, and it's for others' profit. And then verses 8 through 10, the gifts are listed. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. There's another scripture that speaks of each one receiving and the Lord being the one who does it as he wills. Verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Paul using now an illustration of the human body. The human body made up of many members. Got a finger, got arms, legs, but we consider ourselves a unity. You consider yourself one. So also is the body of Christ. The body of Christ made up of believers, genuine believers throughout the entire world in different denominations, in different countries, but it's one body. Jesus is the head. So that's how believers, that's how Christians are referred to as one body. And yet we're made up of a lot of different individual people, aren't we? We're distinct, we're different, and yet there is to be the unity. There's the diversity, but there's also the unity. And this is so important to know, that each one is important within the body of Christ, that no one person is insignificant, that everybody needs to jump on board, everybody needs to fulfill their role so that the body can function normally. It says in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 12, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. By one Spirit, we were all baptized or immersed into one body. Remember, when you become a Christian, you genuinely confess your sins, ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. When you do that, when you genuinely do that, what takes place inside? Remember, there's a transformation that takes place, a regeneration. It's the Holy Spirit that renews you. He comes into your life, and he does a work inside of you that makes you a new creation in Christ. That's what makes you different. That's what makes you a Christian. And so the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And now that he is in your life, now that you've given your life to the Lord, you are out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You are out of the world and you're now in the body of Christ. Does that make sense? You're now part of an illustration here, part of the body of Christ, Jesus being the head. And so it is the Spirit of God that has baptized you, if you will, or I'm not talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit here. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the work that took place in your life. You became a Christian. The Holy Spirit is the one who made you a new creation, and you are placed now within the body of Christ, immersed in the body, if you will. For as the verse 16, for by one Spirit we were all baptized or immersed into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. All been made to drink into one Spirit in the body of Christ, but now made to drink. It reminds me of what Jesus said, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. You remember? What was he talking about in John 7? He was talking about the Holy Spirit. Let him come to me and drink, and out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Come to me and drink, and out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit. And so drinking, and the idea, I think, is being immersed in the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit is flowing through you. The Spirit has immersed you within the one body, the body of Christ. Really not that complicated, just the terminology that's being used here, just defining what's being said. So we're part of the church. We're part of the body of Christ. Verse 14, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. He goes back to the illustration of the human body. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Of course, the answer would be no. Yes, it's part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, that would look pretty interesting, wouldn't it? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, verse 18, each one of them in the body just as he pleased. It kind of addresses the person that's got the, I don't have any gifts, doesn't it, right there? Well, I'm not a foot, I'm not a hand, whatever it is, I'm not an eye, not an ear. The issue is you're important, you're part of the body, you are important. And God is the one who's put the different people in the different positions. And the grass always looks greener on the other side, doesn't it? When you start looking and go, man, I wish I was doing what they're doing. And granted, I mean, there's good sides to the different ministries and the gifts that the Lord gives, but there's also the challenging side. I'll use the illustration of Little League. It's great to be the manager of a Little League team because you get to kind of set the tone of the team, not just with the players, but with the other coaches that are working with you as well. This is how we're going to do things. This is how we're going to do the practices. This is how we're going to communicate with the kids and instill in them the values. It's a great position to be in. I think a lot of people go, I want to be the manager because they get to set the tone. But the manager is also the one that has to explain to the parent why their kid isn't playing half the game or why their kid isn't the one that's pitching. We have 12 players. Everybody can't be on the field at one time. Somebody's got to sit out. So the manager has that responsibility that's not nice, that you don't want to have. And so it is with the different functions really within the body of Christ. There are some things that are really nice, but there are other things that are really difficult that maybe you'd rather not do, but it kind of comes with what you're doing. And so God is the one who has put each one in there. Everybody's important. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Verse 21, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. This is kind of the person who would say, well, I've got this gift, you have that, you're a little peon, we really don't need you. It's kind of addressing it from that point of view. And that's not the case either. Verse 22, no, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. Our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Can you see how important it is to affirm other people within the body, especially those ones who think, well, what I'm doing really isn't that important? Let me ask you this. Do you think there are more important parts within the church that we're doing, more important functions of what a certain individual might do. I'm not wording that right, but are we all on the same plane as far as importance, or are there some positions or giftings that are more important than others? I'll answer it for you. Yes, I think there are. Okay. What's more important, to be the teacher or to be the one handing out a bulletin when you come in the door? I'll answer it for you. You'd probably say, well, the teacher is going to be the one that's most important. Could the service go on without the greeter? The answer would be yes. Will it suffer? The answer would be yes. It wouldn't be as good. 25 years ago, I first darkened the doors of a church. I can't tell you what the pastor looked like. I can't tell you what the pastor said. But I can tell you what the greeters said to me, and I can almost tell you what they looked like. They had a greater impression on me 25 years ago when I first went in the doors of a church than the pastor of the church did. Now, to say that the greeter isn't important is wrong, because the greeter is very important. We each play a vital role. What we might seem to be insignificant or think to be insignificant oftentimes is of great value and can really impact other people's lives, and we have to remember that. Now, again, could the service go on without the greeter? Yes, but it would suffer without the greeter. So everyone is important, no matter what level or the levels we put on them they're at. Verse 24, but our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Important thing is unity and not division. Again, you have some person saying, well, I don't have any gift. I'm not as good as that person. You have this person say, no, you're not as good as I am. You know, you don't want the division taking place, because the whole body will suffer if that happens. And so you're a unit, just like your body is a unit. If one member suffers, the whole body is going to suffer. You know, I've used the illustration, if you accidentally hit your left thumb with the hammer, the left thumb wouldn't, you know, pick up the hammer and hit the right thumb back, or the rest of the body wouldn't laugh at the thumb. Ah, I bet that hurt, you know. It's your body working as a unit. So the body of Christ, when one member suffering, the whole body suffers. When one member is just in victory, the rest of the body rejoices. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way it is all the time, is it? That's the way it's supposed to be. So the unity that we're to have, and yet the diversity as well within the body. Romans 12 speaks to that issue as well. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And so the individuality of the body, and yet the unity that's supposed to be there, each given different gifts that we're to use within the body of Christ for the profit of all, that the church might be built up. Now, in 1 Peter 4:10, he says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. I see that as, you've got a gift, use it. You've got a gift, you need to use it. If you don't, then the whole body's going to suffer. It's kind of like I've got a leg here, but if I don't use one of my legs, the rest of the body is going to suffer. And it's so important that each person does their share so that the whole body can be built up. And as we looked at the list that we have before us, there are various things that are done within the church, and we're going to be talking about those. Next week, what we're going to be looking at is the explanation and the function of all of those gifts that were up on the list there. But this week, what I wanted to lay as a foundation is what spiritual gifts are and how important it is that everybody within the body of Christ recognizes that they are important to the body, that they are gifted, and that we need each person. And when somebody isn't doing their part, the whole body's going to suffer because of it. And how do you know, though? That's a question. How do you know what your gifting is? You know, some people say, well, I don't know what my gift is, and I don't know what my ministry is. Well, part of the way we see that is looking, taking the spiritual gifts test and see, well, what do I seem to do well, or what do I have an interest in? What do I have a love in? I think another part too, though, is seeing where the needs are, you know? I mean, it's true that maybe we don't have a special gifting for a particular area, but, and track with me on this, if there's a need, a blatant need within the body, should we be seeking to fill that need? You follow what I'm saying? Because we're one body, and if it's not functioning right, we need help over here. Well, oh, that's not my gift. You know, it's not my ministry. Then the body's suffering because of it. Now, I know there's a difference between filling every hole that comes along. You know, we can't do that. I mean, there's a lot of good things out there. We want to find what's best, what God wants us to do, and do that. But if there are blatant needs that we see within the body, it's important to be stepping up and filling those needs so that the body can function normally. And it's kind of tough when that doesn't happen, because if my leg decides not to hold myself up, then I got to get my arm engaged and get some kind of extra device up here to help my leg function. But if my leg will come into gear, then it will work well. See, I can meet the need, can't I? I can fill the hole, but until that leg gets into gear, it's not going to work the way it should. And so we can come in and fill those holes, and I think we should. But people need to rise up, I believe. People need to rise up and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? As you look at these gifts, I see them within the church, do you? I see them within the body of Christ, because that's what we're talking about. One of the biggest outlets, I think, is within the local church. We know the body is worldwide, but a big part of that is within the local church and the functioning in that capacity. And so we want to look and see how we can do that, because we want to stay healthy. We want to be united. And I look across the land, and even though we're one body, there can be somewhat of division. And I just want to address that a tiny bit. Why are there so many denominations? You know, we might look at that and go, I thought we're supposed to be one body. Well, why are there so many denominations? And the reality is, we all couldn't fit in one place anyway. So we have to have different places we meet. And when you think about it, probably the healthier meeting of the body would be in small groups, wouldn't you think? Because if you've got a church, let's say, with hundreds of people in it, you're not going to have the ability for the body ministry to take place, are you? You're going to all gather together, and some will be able to help in some capacity, but you really won't have that kind of body ministry you would have if you had small groups functioning. So you need the division, I think. And I think with the early church, that's what you had. I don't think you had the mega churches. I think you had the different home fellowships, if you will, meeting together. And you had different gifted people exercising gifts of teaching and mercy and compassion and different things that were taking place at these different fellowships. And so we couldn't all meet in the same place anyway. That's not really the reason we have denominations. The reason we have denominations is because there are groups that splinter off of other groups because they feel like they've come into more truth, and maybe they have. You have some people that have such a conviction that, you know, baptism should be by immersion, and we need to do that. Okay, we're the Baptists, you know, and you have some people that have a particular method, and we're the Methodists, you know, and you have these then different splinter groups that come because you come into what they believe to be a little more truth. And so they break away from that because of the convictions that they have in their heart. And so are we divided as a body? Yeah, maybe to some degree, but there's a greater unity, I think, that holds the body of Christ together as well, even though we might have different convictions in certain areas that may be non-essential. And also, let's face it, there are different preferences that we have within the body of Christ. We have personal preferences in worship, in certain liturgical styles that we might enjoy. And so we go to the group, the home fellowship, the denomination that suits our personal preference, because we're going to meet somewhere. And so even though there is a division, there's a unity, I think, to a large degree as well. And the body of Christ is made up of believers worldwide that are scattered throughout, I think, all those denominations. So just a foundation here as we talk about spiritual gifts, as we lay the foundation before we look at them. And that's it. Why don't we close in prayer, and then we'll open it up for conversation. Father, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you for blessing the church with spiritual gifts. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us to utilize the gifts that you've given us, that you'll help us to be a blessing one to another and to bring glory to you as well. And I pray over this next week as we're looking at our own lives and what you've done in our lives, I pray that you would show us, oh God, what exactly you would like us to be plugged into and how we can impact and help the body of Christ. Thank you for everybody who's here, and may your blessing be upon them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.